Excellent. Well, we are in a series of talking about the resurrection life. Are you feeling excited? Are you getting more excited about Easter? I'm doing this because I want us next week to just know why we're celebrating, not thinking, oh, well, it's Easter, we better celebrate. I'm not quite sure, but, you know, and not just because you're fired up on chocolate, having gone on your Easter egg hunt at the beginning of the day. So last week we were talking about, the whole concept and why we need to be connected with God, how we get resurrection life. And I just want to follow up a little bit with a few thoughts, and then we're going to discuss. Because in the same way as I'm repeating the information, we could repeat the information forever, and you'd only get a certain amount of it. The next step of this becoming a reality in your life is for you to start discussing it one with another, to start processing it through your mind and thinking, well, if that is true and I believe it, then what does that actually mean and how would it change my life? I mean, how many of you know that you were a passenger in a car, you know, for most of your life? That didn't make you a good driver. You know, well, you might have thought you were a good driver, you know, but the fact is, you think, well, this looks easy until you get in the passenger's, in the driving seat, and then you think, how do you do all of this? And it's only at that point that you actually start applying the information that you've got about how easy driving is to the reality of how challenging it is. And so that's what we're doing by discussing it. This isn't just because it looks like, you know, fun. We get to know each other more, and that's why I encourage you when we do discuss, discussing a different, maybe a different group. We find out a little bit more about each other, but more, it's got a more strategic nature to it. Discussion Sundays actually take the information and we capture it and we hold on to it in a greater level when we're talking about it. So, resurrection power. The Bible says that Jesus said that everything is summed up in this very simple statement: love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and understanding, and love each other. So you've got a connection with God and a connection with each other. So the question is, how do you love God? It's great to say, oh, we love God. Oh, yeah, we love God. Well, how do we love God? Because that is the crux of this resurrection living. It's how we love God. Loving God means having a connection with Him. How we love God is to be connected to Him. If you believe that the Christian life is about performing in a certain way to show that you love God, we know that not to be true. I love Tanya. But my life and our relationship is not based on me doing all the things that Tanya's told me that I need to do and hoping that I don't get it wrong. Then I get up every morning and I read the big book of instructions that Tanya's told me, revising all the things that she said I should or shouldn't do, and then hope I can make it through the day. And then once a week, I come and tell her how wonderful she is, and then she tells me a list of things that I haven't quite got right that week. If that is your experience of the Christian life, it's little wonder we're fired up about resurrection life. Love is a connection. It's about face to face. It's about being real. It's about, now, when we are connected, then as a result of that, I want to do the things that put a smile on Tanya's face. And equally, she wants to do the things that put a smile on our face. At the end of that, at the end of one of those songs, it says, I see your face, you're beautiful. That's God saying that to you. The outcome of love is a connection. Love is a connection, but the outcome of loving someone is a connection. If I say that I love Tanya and I don't have a connection with her, then I don't believe I'm expressing that love. It's great to have Craig, my brother, here with me. Give Craig a big whoop. Yeah. And he's over here. Marin's over there. Marin's here from Bulgaria as well. He must have found some Wi-Fi out back there, some sneaky Wi-Fi. Yeah. And one of the things when we're together, whenever Craig and I are together, we start telling stories of when we were kids. And I think the stories are getting more and more exaggerated as we go along. But but we lived on a farm once. And the cows were having calves. And so we were going to go and see them. And the farmer said to us, just the one thing you've got to make sure is you don't get between the cow and the calf. Oh, yeah, fine. You know, normal kids' activity. So off we go to the field. And there's the cow and there's the calf. And in the excitement, I'm looking at the calf. And I must have stepped in between the line of sight of the mother and the cow. Because the next moment, I'm being run over by a cow. Now, Joe, my sister who was with me, it was a bit comedic. You know, like kind of, actually the cow sort of ran its hoofs alongside me. I wasn't impressed into the ground in a boy-shaped thing, which would have been more dramatic. I could take off my shirt now and see big hoof prints in my back. But my sister thought it was dramatic enough to run back to the farm shouting, "Daniel's dead. He's been killed by a cow." Why do I tell you that, apart from just to put a smile on your face and to add to your life picture of me being run over by a cow? The passion of that mother towards its child to not be disconnected meant that it would nudge anything out of the way to keep that connection. God's heart towards us is that he wants to get rid of anything that would stop that connection. And the Easter story is exactly that. God said, there's this stuff in the way of our connection, and I've got to get it out of the way so that we can have that connection. But it is the connection that we're after. And if you've missed that, then today we need to get that back into our thinking. John 15. Verse 4, you'll know this if you have read much of your Bible. This is Jesus speaking about the vine, another picture of being connected. The vine, remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. And if a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remained in his love. I don't know, remained is said 11 times. I thought it might be 10 times. I wished it was 10 times because I thought it would be very good to say, forget the 10 commandments. These are the 10 New Testament commandments. Remain, 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 remain. The solution to every issue that you have in life is to remain connected to God. Now, if you have got the wrong impression of God, you'll see that as bearing fruit. Well, we've got to bear fruit. We've got to bear so much fruit. Fruit is a natural byproduct of being connected. Don't worry about the fruit. Just remain connected. Remain connected. Any reaction you're having that is negative in life means you're not connected. If you're worrying, you're not connected. If you're anxious, you're not connected. If you're fearful, you're not connected. And if you saw the Facebook post, I put up my two trees. When you are not connected, you are going to wither and die. End of story. There's nothing that you can't sustain life of the resurrection quality unless you remain. So what happens when we disconnect? What happens when we know we've disconnected? We know we're operating out of the kingdom of darkness and not the kingdom of light. We know that we're under the circumstances. Well, there's three principles that we need to apply. It usually involves quite a lot of the time someone or something, but usually someone. Someone's cut out in traffic. I always use traffic because it's something thing. But so someone said something that's hurt you. And suddenly, rather than feeling love towards that person and loving God and loving them, you are feeling negative thoughts towards them. You are feeling hurt. You are feeling, actually, I want to say something back that really hurts that person because they don't know what they've hurt. You've disconnected from God. Because the Bible says, if you say that you love God, but you don't love your brother, you don't love God. We said at the beginning, loving God is a connection to God. So if you say you're connected to God, and at the same time you don't love your brother, you are not connected to God. That's what that verse says. So you have to go back and say, if I'm having non-loving thoughts towards people around me, I am not connected to God, because if I was, I would be seeing them through God's eyes. First of all, you need to learn how to forgive. These are the three points to get you back into connection. Forgive. It always starts with that. Trust God. And then serve someone else. The kingdom of God is about others and not about ourselves. So if you're thinking about yourself, if the thoughts you're having about me, myself, and I, you're in the wrong kingdom. The moment you get connected back to God's kingdom, to the kingdom of light, to the kingdom of life, you will want to naturally serve someone else. And to force that process, give, and it will be given to you. As you love others, God's love is made complete in you and it flows through you. Freedom is not control, it's connection. We're on a journey with friends to freedom, but freedom is not about controlling yourself. If you're doing Lent, anyone here doing something good for Lent? Heather, someone's giving up coffee or tea or chocolate. Has anyone given up chocolate for Lent? Excellent. Well, exactly. You've got two options. You either say, I'm going to give this up and I'm going to live looking at every chocolate bar longingly, and suddenly every advert on the telly seems to be for dairy milk or for eggs or for something. But no, I'm going to do it. That is not freedom. That is desperately trying to control yourself. And if you're doing that with chocolate and with every other thing that you think shouldn't be in your life, it's got to be exhausting. Freedom comes when you connect to God and you no longer find a need to do or to have a desire to do any of those things, because His love and His nature is flowing through you. I need my phone for this one. This is the message. This is Romans 8. In the Message, and I think this is great. There, sometimes the Message absolutely nails it, and this is one of them. Romans 8 verse 5 starts out. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us into a spacious, free life. Focusing on self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what He's doing. But if God Himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of Him. anyone, of course, who has not welcomed the invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for those who welcome him in, he dwells. Even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does as surely as he did in Jesus, you're delivered from that dead life. With the Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. So don't you see, we don't owe this old do-it-yourself life one red cent. There's nothing in it for us, nothing at all. The best thing is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. God's Spirit beckons. These are the things to do. There are things to do and places to go. This resurrection life you receive from God is not timid, grave tending. It's adventurous, expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" That's good, isn't it? You can't help but get excited by reading that. Life has its pressures. If you squeeze an olive, what comes out of it? A murmur. Olives? Olive oil. Squeeze an olive, you get olive oil. Squeeze a Christian? Christ. If you squeeze us, Christ should come out of us. If he's in us and we are filled with him and we are connected to him, then under pressure, it should be Christ that comes out of us. How many of us know that when we are squeezed, quite often something else comes out of us? I don't know about you, but that shouldn't be so. It should be that Christ comes out of us. What comes out of me is more important than what happens to me. What a lot of us have got is stories of, you won't believe what happened to me today. But actually, it should be, do you know, this happened, but this came out of me. Actually, I thought I was going to give them a mouthful, but actually, Christ came out of me. And instead of hate, there was love. And instead of intolerance, there was patience. And. If you carry on reading, if you carry on reading into John, the John 15, verse 11. I have told you this, so my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If we have a connected life with him, then it should be full of every heavenly resource possible. And when we're squeezed, that should come out of us. Ella, just come here for a demonstration. You've seen this demonstration before, but this is what the Christian life should look like. I'm God, of course. And Ella is a Christian. Now what's going to happen if she disconnects from God? You know? This should be our Christian life. But most of us have a Christian life that's a little bit like this and sometimes like this. But actually, if we are connected face to face and then leaning on God, not on our own understanding, trusting him. So that's what we're talking about today. It's possible, but for some of you, those three words you may have to learn. To forgive, to trust God, to serve others. Those are things that you maybe have not experienced or not done or don't know how to do. So some of this has to be learned. If you've lived a life without connection and you've found a way around it, then this isn't going to be natural. But if it's true and it's what we should be doing, then we've got to make it work in the life. And we've got to be conscious of every time we've disconnected and how we get back quickly. It's not whether we disconnect, it's how quickly we get back to connection after we've disconnected. The measure of our relationship is not whether we disagree or argue. Tanya intentionally left a pot of cream cheese out on the side yesterday so it would be soft to make icing for a cake that's going to be here for the bring and share. And I saw that cream cheese and I put it in the fridge. Now, I can say, well, wasn't I doing a wonderful job cleaning up the kitchen? Which doesn't really solve the issue, the cream cheese. Now, the strength of our relationship is not whether those things happen, because they will happen, but how much of an effect they have and how long it takes us to get back to a connection. And the more we love each other, the quicker it is. Love covers over a multitude of sin. Love is not angry, or love is kind, love is gentle, love is patient, love is all of those things. And we only get that from God. We don't get it from self-effort. So I've got some questions for us to talk about in our little groups. Question one, who do you have the closest connection with and why? That's just an easy starter to get you going. And so, you know, talking in groups is a challenge for some people. So there you go. Then some more challenging ones. Do you think God wants a connection with you? You know, before we bang on about this connection, some of you might be actually afraid to connect with God because you don't believe he wants a connection with you. And if you had one, what would happen? How do you remain permanently connected with God? Paul said, I pray on all occasions. I'm constantly, what he was trying to say is, I've got a connection with God. Jesus said, I only speak the words the Father gives me. So Jesus' connection with the Father was so much that he didn't utter one word that hadn't proceeded from the Father. That is a connection with God. That's not doing something and then thinking, how do I do today, God? That is an intimate, moment-by-moment spirit connection with God. That's a challenge. And what would be different in your life if you were able to remain connected? What would be different? How would it feel? What would it look like if your life was permanently connected to the heavenly realm so that nothing was about me, myself, and I, but it was about others and loving others and remaining connected to others and keeping the unity of the Spirit with others? Trying to be one together is really difficult. But if Pete is connected to God, and Kate is connected to God, and I'm connected to God, then we all have the ability to love one another. Without God, forget it. It doesn't work.